Good morning, Longevity. It's great to be with you this morning. When Kate was probably only 2 years old, 18 months old, Melissa and I had to go to a Salvation Army meeting down in Sydney, Elizabeth Street. And after that meeting, people just kind of wandered out in crowds and were chatting together in the foyer and out on the street. And I was chatting to some people. And Melissa came up and said, "I can't find Kate." And she was quite panicked, and of course I became quite panicked, and we went looking for Kate. She's only little. Elizabeth Street's very busy. Anything could have happened. When I reminded Melissa of that story the other day, she said the thing that concerned her most was many of the people didn't seem concerned or helpful that were around us. And here we are really worried about our little girl and harm coming to her. And she remembered actually Judith Baker. Before the days Judith was up here with us, she was down in Sydney, and Judith was one of the people that actually helped us look for Kate and showed real concern. And but many people just didn't share our level of concern. You'd expect parents to be concerned when their child's gone missing and they don't know where they are and if they're safe. And you know what? I believe that's how God feels about us before we know Him. He loves us and He has our best interests at heart. And He knows the dangers of this world, and He wants to be found by us. And He is sometimes, I think, frustrated when we don't share His concern for those who haven't found Him yet. So this morning I want to focus on how we can share God's heart for people, share God's heart for people who haven't found Him yet. So to share God's heart for people, I need to firstly realize every person has great worth. In God's eyes, every person has great worth. Luke 15:7 says, "I tell you that in the same way there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent." Here I want to clarify the word sinner as anyone who is living independently of God. Sometimes we often think of sins, that's what we do, but sin is a heart attitude. It's a heart attitude of independence that wants us, where we want to do things our own way. And not follow God's way. And so the word sinner there means someone who's independent from God, doing their own thing, following their own way. The story Jesus told of lost sheep tells us that when one sheep is lost or missing or doesn't know where the shepherd is, that the shepherd leaves the 99 who are safe and goes looking for the one. In a day and age where everything is so impersonal, here we have a picture, I believe, of a personal God. A God that is interested in the individual. In a day when we get machines on the other end of our telephone calls, here is a picture of a God who is interested in us personally. I'm not just a number to Him. He cares for me. He knows my name. He cares about my welfare. And He pursues me. And every person matters to God. When we feel and know God's heart for each person on the face of the earth, we are motivated to share His love and His message with anyone who is even slightly interested. To share God's heart for people, we need to secondly realize the urgency of Jesus' message. 2 Corinthians 5:2 says, "For He says, in the time of my favor I heard you. In the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation." Here, Paul uses a reference from the prophet Isaiah in the Old Testament, where Isaiah refers to Paul's time and our time. Paul goes on to correctly say that now is the time of God's favor. Now is the time to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, in other words. Paul is reminding the Corinthians of the urgency of the message of salvation. It is a time where whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It was Jesus who reminded us that this window of opportunity would not always be available. In Matthew 24:36, "No one knows," Jesus said, "about the day or the hour, not even the angels in heaven or the Son, but only the Father. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. For in the days before the flood, people were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing about what would happen until the flood came and took them all away." And Jesus went on to say that that is how it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. Jesus here is speaking about His return and that we must be ready. And many of you probably heard me joke about the end of the world. And partly that comes from because I grew up in a time in the church when there's a lot of teaching around the book of Revelation and the end of the world. And, you know, I was expecting the world to end in 1982 and then 1989 and 1986. And by the time Y2K came around, I was sick of wondering when the world would end. And so I just got married and had a great honeymoon. But you know what? I was ready. In 1982, if Jesus had come back, I was ready. In 1986, probably glad Jesus didn't come back then. I'm not sure how I would have gone because I was living in rebellion and living independently of God. But in 1989, I was ready. In the year 2000, I might have been on my honeymoon, but I was ready. How was I ready? I was ready because I was in relationship with Jesus Christ. I had called him my Savior and Lord. I was doing my best to follow his leading in my life. That's how we are ready. We come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We believe that he is the Son of God, that he rose, he died for our sins, that he rose again. And we ask him to be our Lord and our Savior. Lord meaning, in a sense, the boss, the guy that takes the steering wheel of the car. He's the Lord of our life. I follow you, Lord Jesus. I live my life the way you ask me to live my life. That's making Jesus Lord. And believing in him that our rebellion towards God is forgiven by putting faith on his death on the cross, that he died for my rebellion. And when I believe that he did that for me, then I receive God's forgiveness and I come into relationship. The relationship with God that Adam and Eve enjoyed in the garden is restored and I live in relationship and fellowship with God. I want to ask you this morning, are you ready? Also want to ask, are our loved ones ready? Are our neighbors ready? Today is a day of salvation. There's no better time than now to come to Jesus and to lead others to Jesus. And if Jesus comes back, even in 1,000 years' time, we still need to be ready because none of us have tomorrow guaranteed. I'll never forget being a third-year apprentice. We'd had a long weekend. I used to work with this guy called Shane. He's a fourth-year apprentice. We had a great time together. We'd go out working together. He'd pretend to be the tradesman. I'd be the apprentice. And we'd really just two apprentices. But he was very capable and we enjoyed working together. I remember the Friday afternoon before the Monday, we'd put in a hot emergency hot water system together. He played the plumber, I played the electrician, and I got this hot water system installed. Then we had a long weekend. I remember showing up to work Tuesday morning, and the guys were out the front of the workshop all looking a bit sad, and I had to put my foot in it, and I said, "Guys, we just had a long weekend. Why are you looking so down?" I said, "Shane was killed on the weekend. He'd had a motorbike, got his license, and was going around a corner Sunday or Monday night and slipped into an oncoming car and was killed instantly." And a number of days later, as I sat in Shane's funeral, I wish I knew. I wish I'd shared Jesus with him. I wish I'd just had the conversation to know, at least wish I had tried. The Bible says no one knows the day or the hour when Christ will return. And neither do we know the time or the hour when our friends, our loved ones, our neighbors will leave this earth. Now is the time. Today is the day of salvation. We need to ask ourselves, why not now? If you're not yet a Christian, you need to ask yourself that question as well. Why not now? What am I waiting for? If you've had people on your heart that you know don't know Jesus yet and you want to share Jesus with them, not in a Bible-bashing kind of way, but in a loving, inquiring kind of way, have you ever thought of, have you ever considered? If you have people on your heart, why not now? Why not today? When we realize this, we will make the most of the time we have with the people we're with. We will make the most of every opportunity. Because to share God's heart for people, we need to take opportunities that God presents to us. That's my third point this morning, taking the opportunities, the God opportunities that are presented to us. Ephesians 5:15 says, "Be very careful." Interesting words. "Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil." And again, in Colossians, Paul says, "We be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity." The word there for opportunity in the original Greek means God-given opportunity. It means a God window. It means God's opened an opportunity, opened a door for us to share him with other people. The word in the Greek is keros, and we could call it the keros moment. And what Paul was talking about was telling the Ephesians to make the most of every opportunity, was to seize the keros moment. Take the God-given opportunity to do God's work, to share his message. I remember being with a group of YWAMers a good number of years ago and hearing this story of a group of YWAMers that were doing mission, youth with a mission guys, doing mission over in sharing Jesus with people over in Europe, and they were praying and seeking God. And since I meant to go across to another country in Europe and have this great crusade, and it all just fell together. It was amazing. Thousands of people met together. Thousands of people gave their life to Jesus. And after that, you know, they said, "Oh, we need to do this again. This is wonderful." And so the next year they planned again and they managed to pull things together, and it was just a big flop. And I remember the person telling the story saying, "You know, that first year we did that, that was a keros moment. It was a God opportunity. God opened the door. God made things happen, and therefore many people came to know Jesus. But the next year it was just a man effort. God hadn't opened a door. They were kind of pushing things uphill, and I'm not sure if anyone came to Jesus. Probably a few people did, and that's great. But it wasn't a keros moment. God gives us all opportunities to be witnesses, a witness to others. It may be through our work in the church, or waving to a neighbor, visiting a sick friend, or talking to someone who's new to church, or someone we work with day to day. It's just taking those opportunities to build, firstly, build a relationship and show love. I mean, that's what the Salvation Army is all about. William Booth was for, how can I share Jesus with someone who needs a meal or needs to be clothed or needs accommodation? I think it's the same. How can we share Jesus with someone who we haven't built a relationship with yet? I think there are times for that. And we need to do that in a very loving and caring way to show the love of Jesus as we bring the message of Jesus. But you know what? I think even long before we get an opportunity to share Jesus with people, often we need to be building that loving relationship. We need to show Jesus through who we are. And then I believe God brings lots of opportunities to share the message of Jesus. In our own church, we have specific programs specifically for this reason, to help people connect, to build relationships so that we have those opportunities to be Jesus and share Jesus. Those ministries are things like craft and our family store, youth group outings, etc. These programs are designed to be a relaxed atmosphere where people can build friendships with people who one day may be able to share Jesus with. These programs are only successful if we build friendships that become bridges for people to feel comfortable enough to speak about spiritual things. I think we would be surprised, actually, and I know I have over the years, how open people are about sharing about Jesus and spiritual things, particularly in climates like our current climate. People want to know what's going on. People want to know that there's a hope in the future. I was watching a documentary just recently that was talking about the younger generation, the guys in the 20s and 30s, really struggling with mental health, because what about their future? What future do they have? What an opportunity to share Jesus, the hope. He is our hope. He is our future. He is our peace. In times like this, we don't need to know the future if we know Jesus. But a lot of people out there today are in fear. They are in anxiety. They are struggling with depression, a whole bunch of other struggles, because the future is uncertain as ever. And those people, maybe it's time they heard Jesus. Maybe they heard time they heard about Jesus from us. We need to recognize our keros moments with those who don't yet know Jesus and take those opportunities that may come. I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, you hear things that stay with you, and things that trouble you for all the right reasons. I heard a preacher called Judah Smith say something one day that I've never quite heard put that way before, and it's never left me. And he said this, he said, "God doesn't have the privilege of percentages." What do you mean? God doesn't have the privilege of percentages. Think of it this way. Your house is burning down and you manage to save three of your four children. And when the news reporter shows up, as they always do, and want to, you know, come and interview the grieving people, you're all excited. Say, "Ah, I saved 75% of my family." People would think there's something wrong with you. Yet in the church so often, and it's true, our statistics in Australia, between 60 and 70% of people in Australia in the last surveys, the census, said they were Christians. And that's great. But, you know, I'm not sure God is happy with that. He loves the fact that 60 to 70% of Australians call themselves Christians. But it's like celebrating the reality of only saving 3 of your 4 kids. God doesn't have the privilege of percentages. He loves the whole world. The Bible says he wishes none should perish. You know what? Jesus wants 4 out of 4 kids saved out of the fire. 4 out of 4. He wants 100%. And I believe each one of us would want 100% of our kids saved out of a house fire as well. You know, that's God's heart for people who don't know him yet. The Bible says God so loved the world. It doesn't say God so loved 60% of the world. It doesn't say God so loved 70% of the world. It says God loves the whole thing. He loves 100% of the world. He loves every person. He wants every person to hear about him. What they do with that, hey, that's their business. But he wants them to hear. He wants them to have the opportunity to respond. May we share God's heart so that we are ready to share his message. May we recognize and take the opportunities God has for us. And this morning, as I close, I want to give you the opportunity, if you've never done before, to give your heart to Jesus. He loves you. He knows you. He's been trying to get your attention your whole life. And he wants to have a relationship with you. He wants to connect with you like you connect with your best friends. And the way to do that is just to say a simple prayer. And the slide's going to come up now on the screen. And I'm going to pray this prayer. And I invite you to pray this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, I need you and I believe in you. I receive you, your forgiveness. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and for giving me life and eternity. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. If you prayed that prayer this morning, please let us know. I even encourage you to message us in Long Jetty on the Facebook page. Just send a message that's private. Only a few of us can see that, and we'll respond to you and send you out some material, make contact with you. And just want to encourage you in your early walk with Jesus. And we're going to go into a time of meditation right now. And the worship team's going to come. And for those of you who already know Jesus, I want you in this time to allow God to place on your heart, maybe he already has through this message or before even today, some people that you need to share Jesus with them. Not in a Bible-bashing way, but in a gentle, loving way, in an inquiring way. Hey, have you ever thought about Jesus? Have you ever thought where you may spend eternity after you die? In a loving, gentle way, just share that Jesus loves them and there's a way to connect with God. I know there's times when I've led people to Jesus. You know, sometimes just a simple prayer, just a simple question, and people come into this very dynamic, very alive experience of a relationship with Jesus Christ. So as the band comes, let's worship through this song that they bring us, this worship song. And may we just be praying for those we love who don't yet know Jesus. May we be just seeking his wisdom in the when and the how to share his message with them.